Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Yesterday, we began an inspiring conversation with Robert and Corrine Baltadano, a couple whose journey through the heartbreak of infertility led them to experience the beauty of adoption. Today, we're going to hear the rest of the story, how God brought their family together in a way only He could. Robert and Corrine share how each of their adoptions unfolded uniquely and how it's been a blessing and a privilege to be chosen by birth parents, making one of the most selfless and difficult decisions imaginable. And with November being National Adoption Awareness Month, it's a perfect time to celebrate the power of family and the redeeming love at the heart of adoption. Maybe even think about your own capacity to give of yourself to some baby or child in need if that calling is placed on your heart. It could radically change everything and yours for the better. Well, through their own experience, the Baltadanos have not only found healing for their family, but they've become a source of hope and guidance for others walking the same road. And so, hey, let's just jump right back in. We're talking about infertility. Hey, up front, this is something that's about, what, one in five couples, one in six couples battle with?
Easily.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how prevalent this is and the journey that people go on. Do you guys see it a lot in your own community around you?
Absolutely. Yeah. When they do hear about our story, then people are more open to talk to us about it.
We have good friends right now going through it, going through a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, because it is a roller coaster ride, you know, when you're not where we are. And this is just our journey. We're not saying that this is everybody's journey. This is our journey that God specifically put together, and everybody has a different story.
Yesterday, we got to the point where adoption was settled in as an option for the two of you. You finally get there. And knowing the two of you, you wanted to be private and let's go through this journey. But this initial phase, if you will, on the adoption process was pretty bumpy and it kind of blew up on you. You guys mind telling us what happened?
Well, I'll share that our first journey started with Ted Humans, our adoption attorney, and he had said, we have two children that we would have to be placed right away, and the family is picking who will be their parents. And it was a whirlwind. We found out.
Private adoption.
It was actually, it had dabbled into foster adopt because the parent had passed away and the system had stepped in.
Okay.
But not so far that they were placed out yet. And so the family, the grandmother and uncle, were going to find the parents. They get to pick. So we got the call.
So you guys had to apply. And
on this one, it was different. Yeah, because of Ted Human kind of got us in front of the line, if you will. He was able to.
Your attorney.
Yes.
Yeah,
our attorney,
yes. You could get a temporary guardianship.
Right.
Gotcha.
Even without a home study.
Yes. So he had that case, and he thought of us as, hey, here's an opportunity for you guys.
So we went, we met with the family, we talked. It was a Thursday. We were going to find out by Friday, and the children would be in our house by Monday. It was a whirlwind experience.
Wow.
And we were chosen by the grandmother, and we were super excited, and we're thinking, I need to quit my job this weekend. We got to go get a crib at Walmart. Like,
and
we got to do everything.
We were in this two-bedroom townhome in Newport Beach, and we're like, oh boy, here we go. You know, and that's when God began to really bring this reality to my heart. I'm like, oh, it's going to happen. I'm going to be a dad. And so it really got me excited, right? And
Friday morning, we get the call that the uncle had chosen another couple. And the lawyer said, we can fight this. And we said, no, like, it's the children are priority. And we're not fighting this. And the uncle chose the couple. And then we were devastated and brokenhearted, but we got a taste.
It didn't depress me. It got me angry. And I said, we're doing this.
And so then I was reading Adoption for Dummies. And so there is a book. And in the very first chapter, if you're on the process of adoption, tell everyone. And so we wrote in our Christmas card, going through our home study, we're going to be adopting soon. Because we were praying for a family unit. We wanted like a family of four and done. And I really wanted orphans. No, I was hoping that like parents were out of the picture and we would be good. We were done. And then in our Christmas card, when I said we're going to be adopting soon, it went to some close friends.
Just pray for us is what we asked. Yeah, so I'm at work, and so this is like the first of the year, and they, you know, I get this phone call from our friend. Hey, I received your Christmas card, and I noticed that you guys are wanting to pray for adoption. But listen, there's a lady in the church who has a daughter who's pregnant. She's a believer. She's very healthy. She just unfortunately, you know, got into some bad things, and you know, she's pregnant now, and they're looking for somebody to adopt the baby. And it was surreal for me. I'm like, this is not that easy, is it?
Well, it was exciting.
It was, and I called you.
Waving our Christmas card, praying for us, and well, her grandma's there.
I can see it in your faces. I mean, as you're going through that, I can see what was happening to you.
Yeah, because I called her right away. I said, I just got a call from our good friends. They said that there's a young girl who's pregnant who is thinking about adopting her baby. And he's thinking of us. And her and I were like, we were almost saying almost no.
I mean, that's
how dumb we were, because we were so like, is this real?
And so we befriended her.
Yeah.
We loved on her.
We went out for coffee and we were there talking. And then, you know, we
just
weren't thinking we would be the ones to adopt your baby. We weren't thinking that. We were kind of deflecting it. And then she's like, no, I want you guys to be the ones. And we're both like, okay. You know, it was odd. It was weird. Here we are, right? We're struggling. We're trying to get, you know, wanting to have a baby and whatnot. And here's an opportunity, prime opportunity of this healthy young girl who wants to just give up her baby to adoption to us. And it was a weird thing. It wasn't hitting home.
There's a piece of me that wants to stop right here for a moment. Just put a bookmark in it. I wish a lot of the girls who were carrying babies and they were conflicted could hear the joy that flows out of people who would love to adopt their child. You see that? And I think about all those kids out there who have gotten placed in foster systems and more who are lost, and how there are couples out there just dying, wanting to embrace them. What an opportunity, what a ministry. You know that?
What a privilege. What a privilege for us, you know, because they choose us. You know, it's not us choosing them. It is a privilege.
I go back to the human side of this,
yes,
and that is
please.
The excitement, the fear, the complication of being rejected, and now figuring out how to keep going and be hopeful. Because I think there are a lot of couples out there in that state. It's like a grind, if you will. You know, you've got to keep grinding. Take us through that.
So after we met with her, we finally said, okay, you know, let's do this. We contacted the attorney that we had, Ted Heumann, and he started the process. And, you know, to make a long story short, we should start going with her to her appointments. Every time she had an appointment, either me or her together, we go and sit there with her. She's, you know, she can see the baby, you know, she's growing and stuff. So we're on this journey with her. But there were some moments that it was hard because she was also dealing with the dad, the father, who wasn't cooperative. And so that threw in a lot of issues in her life where she would be MIA. She would be missing in action for a while. And then we're like, oh, here we go.
Talking about a roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Goodness.
And we're like, oh, it's not going to happen. So I start getting mad. I mean, we poured a lot of money into this. She's not returning calls. You know, we're not hearing from her. They're trying to get a hold of her. And at that moment, we're like, we lost this one.
I decided to commit to her that even if she backed out, our baby girl would be fine. And then we decided to, because we got calls from foster adopt saying, hey, we have two. We have this. And it was tempting to jump off that private adoption and jump into, we can have them, but I said, we have to commit with her. She's going through this. She's making this really hard decision. Even if she changes her mind at the hospital, we've walked this journey with her. And really, you know, loved on her in that way.
So we passed through that issue, that little kink that we had, a little moment that I thought we were going to lose this opportunity. Then, we're at home sleeping. 12 o'clock, we get this phone call. She's in labor. We got up quickly, put on our clothes, and drove over. We get there, and there she is. And I couldn't, they only allowed one person in. So I had to sleep in my car in the parking lot. Said, because they're like, you can go get a hotel. I said, I'm not going to a hotel. I'm going to sleep in the parking lot.
Literally was outside the window.
So I'm just like, we had a SUV. I put the thing down. I'm sleeping all uncomfortable. She stayed in the room with her. And then she texts me. She goes, the baby is born.
Well, and I'm like, the exciting thing about all this, you know how there's no coincidence. Like, you think you have this plan, and our birth mom had decided, I'm going to sign the 24-hour waiver, but I'm also going to sign that I don't want to be on the maternity ward. I want to be up in, like, recovery on another part of the hospital. And we have all the lawyer signatures to do so, and they say, nope, sorry, you can't. If she does that, the baby's taken into NICU, and no one gets to touch. And I'm thinking, this is not okay, and this is not healthy for the baby. So we talked, and she's like, she agreed, I'll be in the birth unit. And I said, okay. And I went to the nurses and pleaded the situation. I said, we need a suite. I need to be in there with her. She's allowing me to. And God opened up the suite because it wasn't available. They moved us in. I was in one bed with the baby on my chest, and she was in the next. She needed to know the baby was well. And I would see our little girl. She would be resting on me, and then she'd hear her voice and lift up her head, but then rest on my chest. And I'm feeding her, and she'd hear her voice. And it was this thing, I know it doesn't happen in a lot of adoptions, but this miraculous 12 hours, even though you're in your car and sleeping, was needed for our little girl. It was needed. And so it was sweet, and it gave us away. And she chose not to hold her. She chose not to feed her until the very end, when we were all the paperwork's done, we're signed out. And then they asked her, and she said, I want to see. And she takes her little girl, she unwraps her and names all the body parts. This is her dad's, this is her aunt's, this is like, and I wrote it all down. And to see like how loved our little girl was on. And of course we documented all this. Like, I have a book with all these emails and texts and conversations. Wow. So she knows she is loved on.
And
she
there's that connection. I had the privilege of meeting her today.
Yes.
And what a beautiful moment. And I think about the joy that God has brought to the two of you in and through her.
Yes.
In this journey together, the two of you decided to go ahead and adopt again. This is a unique story. And can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, well, our little girl, we had her. I'm super excited. I'm like, this is all I want. I don't need any more. This is it. And then my wife, of course, who's always running ahead, says, I want another baby. I said, honey, we just went through this. This is a lot, not financially, but emotionally. She goes, I found this ministry that they do embryo adoption. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, why go there? What is this? What do they do to you? How much is it? You know, I'm going through all this stuff. She goes, I carry the baby. I was like, what? And she's just like, I want this. And I'm like, here we go again. I'm thinking, okay, what does this mean? So she explained what embryo adoption is. Like, you mean they're frozen embryos and then they insert them in you? And she's telling me all this. I'm like, and I'm just, my head is just like, I don't, this is too much for me. And my wife, she's the initiator in a lot of these things. So I trusted her. I said, all right, how do we do this? And we started the process, and she found a ministry who actually took our information, and all of our stuff went out. And I said, all right, here we go again. And then we get a call. There's a family who has 5 embryos frozen, and they picked you to take them. And I'm like, oh boy. And so here we go again. So now this is a whole different
process.
This
would be a snowflake baby.
Yes.
Adoption.
Yep, snowflake baby adoption.
Official snowflake through Nightlight.
Preserving life, because we believe that life begins at conception.
Amen.
Yes.
And so here you have 5 embryos.
5 embryos.
5 babies.
5 babies on the East Coast that we had to ship over to to California.
And it was really neat to know this, like that IVF couples that have the leftover embryos, they really only have 3 options.
Yeah.
1, to donate to an anonymous bank. 2, to destroy them, which 90% do. or three adopt them. And the adoption part was awesome because we get family history, we get to know the process. There might even be some open adoption in right. it. So I thought it was worth, I mean, it's minimal in the adoption world when you think of like Snowflake adoptions, 8,000 private, 20 agencies, 40, and then international 60 plus. It was a great option for us.
Yeah. So we got back on board, you know, doctors. Yeah. We searched for the best doctors that deal with this embryo adoption. The part of this process of preparing her body was not fun because I had to inject her, you know, with was it progesterone? And I hate needles, but I had to do this to my wife. I had to inject needles in her stomach.
You practiced on the grapefruit.
Oh, I hated that.
People don't really understand this journey that people are going through.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is, because you're jabbing your wife every week.
Every
day. You know, in the stomach and then in the thigh, and you're going through this and you're just thinking like, oh Lord, I hope this works, you know? And so, you know, you prep her. And so here we go, right? The first two, we got a date. Okay. We're excited. Here we go again. And you know, they survived defrost and they insert him in her, and there's a waiting game now. Now you wait, you know, pregnancy test. Okay. Not yet. All right. Waiting for that phone call. Nothing. All right, we're waiting, you know, nothing's coming through the test, the pregnancy test. Then we get the call.
It was negative.
It was negative.
Heartbreaking.
And we're like,
because they tell you these are the most beautiful embryos. And that's, again, with our doctors, our IVF doctors, we'd say, you're not God. You know, God is truly in control. And we are like, you know, you're processing. This is not your will. Okay, Lord, we're walking through this, but we were heartbroken. We tried again, did two more. They defrosted two more. They tried to want to put all three in. I said, no, there's not enough money in therapy for three embryos. So most people, one or two. And so they transferred two, and then we got our little boy. We got the positive pregnancy. It was cute when we looked at our pregnancy test. Our little girl was three, and we were like, do you see lines? And she's like, yeah, there's two lines. You really see two lines? Like, we didn't believe it. And then we got the phone call.
And then we got the phone call. And I remember the day we start jumping up and down, like, oh my gosh, this is happening. This happened. But then again,
like, oh,
then you
my,
think,
it's
though,
happening.
Pregnancy, you know, then there's the miscarriage. So now you're thinking
the
of that.
Fear,
like,
of
now
everything.
You got several months to
what
go through this.
Right.
And it was, because there was a point when we were, you know, at the time in California, I was teaching at the church we were part of. And then I was also doing a young adult ministry. And after one of the ministry Bible studies, we went home because we were in Chino, and then we drove all the way to Orange County, and she started bleeding, and we're like, oh no. She comes to me, she goes, we got to go. I said, what's wrong? She goes, I'm bleeding. I'm like, oh, took our little girl with us. We start driving. And I remember on that freeway driving and looking at her, and I'm like, oh, we lost them, you know? And I'm just trying to process this, because we went right to the ER. Got her in. And of course, you know, Google's the other doctor, right? So I'm Googling all these different things. And I'm like, I think I just diagnosed. This is what you have. We're okay.
He really did. He walked in with his phone and says, I know what's wrong with her. And he's holding his phone. And he was right.
And the doctors come in.
Was he right?
Yeah, he was right. It was like, you know, hemorrhaging on the outer side. But they said, just take a rest. You know, be careful. It may or may not, you know, and you just... And again, you trust the Lord.
And he wasn't touched.
It's in the Lord's
hands. It didn't affect him at all. And so that was a big scare, because we were thinking, okay, here's another bump in the road, you know, another investment might go down the tubes, whatever. But
God.
Our boy was born.
But God. And he's a fine young man.
Oh, boy. He is a joy.
Got a lot of fire.
Oh, boy.
A lot of energy.
I mean, it's incredible.
I know that you're speaking a lot of words of hope and encouragement to people today. One embryo left.
Yes. So to go with that, I got a year after our boy was born, I got pregnancy melanoma. And honestly, I feel like God was showing me why I probably never did get pregnant. You don't get those answers this side of heaven usually, but I do feel like that would have happened in my 20s had I gotten pregnant anyways. And so I couldn't carry. They said, you can't carry the next one. If you do, you could jump to stage 4 cancer. And some people, again, they're like, just do it. Let God take care of it. And we did not have a
I said, nope.
piece in it. And we didn't know what to do. Nightlight, you can return the embryo. we didn't feel peace about that. And a friend, dear, dear friends, the husband and wife, Jonathan and Kaylee, stepped in and said, we really feel like we're to walk this journey with you. And like everything of adoption, it's a dance. You take a step forward. Does everyone feel comfortable? And she was going to be my surrogate. She went through all the counseling, all the lawyers, all the paperwork, everything. And honestly, we set it up organically, I could say, because she had four healthy children. She didn't have to do any of the shots. They just literally timed up her cycle, and then they were coming in to be able to transfer the next baby. It's an embryo transfer. And I prayed that morning. I did really lay it before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, if for any reason you're not wanting, for multiple reasons, I give you my heart. You have the right to take this child. And we went, and the doctor took a little longer, and he called us in and he apologized. He said, this never happens. This isn't usually what it does. And the embryo had passed away in defrost, and we're not able to do the transfer. And so we, all four of us, grieved together for a long time like that, because, you know, it takes her on a journey too to be our surrogate. And then it took us on the journey of relinquishing again a baby in another womb and watching it grow and being reunited. But
yeah.
So then I feel like I could tell everyone we know about foster adopt, embryo adoption, private adoption, surrogacy. We've walked those roads.
Yeah.
I hope there's no more roads.
As I'm thinking about our closing words to our listeners, I'm thinking some would love to learn more about the two of you and your story, because maybe it would bring a lot of hope and encouragement to people. If they wanted to do that, where could they go?
You know, they can email us, robkarine@gmail.com, robkarine@gmail.com. Or they can message me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Robert Baltadano. Mm-hmm. And I would love to talk to any husband that needs some help and help them process this, because they need to be on board.
Hey, what an incredible reminder of God's faithfulness. Over these past 2 days, we've heard how Robert and Corrine Baltadano walked through the heartbreak of infertility and how in God's perfect timing, he led them to the miracle of adoption. Their story shows us that even when life doesn't go the way we hoped, God is still at work writing something redemptive and good. If you're in that waiting place right now or carrying your own heartache, don't lose hope. God sees you. He hasn't forgotten you. And if you'd like to follow along with the Baltadanos, you can find them online on Facebook and Instagram. Remember, this is National Adoption and Foster Awareness Month. Please pray about that. And remember the parents and the kids in the midst of that journey. Until next time, God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute. Regret is loud, but it's not the final word on your story. A study from Northwestern University found that people regret inaction far more than mistakes. Regret can feel like a life sentence, but Scripture says otherwise. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 assures us there's no condemnation for those in Christ. The cross speaks louder than your past. Clinically, regret becomes toxic when it turns into shame. But when processed with truth, it can become a compass. The key is turning regret into reflection, and reflection into redirection. So write down one regret that still stings. Then write two things you learned from it and one redemptive way God could use it to help someone else. This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. This is Dr. Zach Clinton, and in my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. Now, I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. That's why at Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian counselor or coach who shares your faith and your values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or maybe facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctively Christian. So if you or someone you know may be looking for help, hope, or healing, we invite you to take that next step today. All you have to do is go to ChristianCareConnect.com. Again, that's ChristianCareConnect.com. And you can easily find a provider within 100 miles of your zip code. For further support, you can even email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. Most importantly, remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Again, ChristianCareConnect.com, a new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.